Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show underway for another great week. And we start out today with Together with Tri-State Veteran Support. We always take one day a month to talk about our fabulous veterans and the issues that they're getting involved with. So first and foremost, let me say good morning to Richard Elson Peter.
Good morning, Mary.
We're so glad to have you here, as we are each and every month, and we'll be talking with you a little bit later about some things that are going on. But let's introduce our guest of honor today. Roger Schwengel is the curator of the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. Welcome to the program, Roger.
Thank you, Mary.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I farmed most of my life till about 1983, and then got more involved in military late in life, and I actually served two terms in active duty after 9/11/01.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You weren't a young man. Well, you probably weren't that old, because there are limits, but you actually had a full career as a farmer, and then when America was under attack and the terrorist attacks of 9/11, you decided to join the military.
Yes, I took two terms at age 54 and 59 over in the desert.
Okay. You're going to have to explain how that works, because I didn't think you could join the military when you were 54.
Well, I had 3.5 years earlier and then was out a full 18 years and decided to go back in.
That's a story that's worth hearing. Wow, at 54, you still felt that patriotic urge to go defend our country.
Right.
Can I ask you what kind of work you did while you were in the military that second part of your career?
I was in munitions in the 183rd Fighter Wing over at Springfield, Illinois.
So did you actually go overseas, or did you all do all your mission here stateside?
No, I actually went overseas twice. Yeah.
Wow. This is fascinating. Now, Roger, I've known you, and I didn't know this little aspect of your life. Yeah. Most guys in career military, they may be serving when they're in their 50s, but they didn't stop and go farming. You know, they stayed in contiguously. So this is something new that I'm learning today, and it just goes to show, if you're a patriot, there's no age limit to patriotism.
That's right.
So by munitions, did you help load up the fighter jets and stuff like that?
We actually made smart bombs out of regular bombs by putting a guidance system on the front, put the fins on the back, installed the fuses, and that took them out to the flight line.
Okay, so you took a regular old dumb bomb.
Yeah.
And you turned it into a smart bomb.
Exactly.
I like it. I like it. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And your service.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. That is fantastic. Roger Schwengel, curator of the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. And there again, that is a fantastic museum. And you have interesting artifacts from almost every war that America's been involved with, including some that were just conflicts and police actions. We
yeah.
call them wars,
right.
But technically they're not, but you cover it all. So let's talk a little bit about this. What do we see when we go into the All Wars Museum? And be specific. I want to know some of the oldest things you have there, some of the newest things you have there. I want to know about everything there is to know about the All Wars Museum.
Well, we start out with the Indian Wars right inside the door and work our way around clear to the Gulf War. But to start out with, we've got an original cannon. I'll take that back. Not original. We had a reproduction cannon that was made at Gardner, Denver, out of brass. They actually turned it down on a lathe at Gardner, Denver, and it's right inside the front door, and it's on a remanufactured carriage that was made out of the plans that were actually right off the originals up at Rock Island Arsenal. So that's inside the door. And then we go back further, and we actually got cannon number, serial number one at the Civil War display. And that's pretty neat. It's on a reproduction carriage, but it's the serial number one of an original 1861 cannon.
Now, that's the one that every once in a while, under very special permission, you used to allow it to go out, because I have helped shoot that cannon
mm-hmm.
up in Keokuk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the story. They said, would you like to be the thumb man? I said, sure. How hard could that be? Just put your thumb over the hole. Then after I did that and they shot the cannon, Then they told me that's why all the guys during the Civil War, nobody had a thumb, because the thumb would get blown off. Meanwhile, my mother's standing by allowing me to do this. I think it was a very light charge. I really don't think my thumb was in that much danger. But isn't that nice to know that my friends let me shoot the cannon? Wasn't that nice of them?
Sure. And
all I just, you know, typing would have been a problem. Let's just put it that way. So that cannon, number one, serial number one, mm-hmm. do you still let people take it out, or do these people who put my life in jeopardy, have they been barred now from taking this on grand tour?
I'm not really sure. Do you know if they're...
Okay.
I don't think they do.
Now, after that incident, maybe the complaint I filed is what did it in, huh?
Right. I know they do allow the caisson, which is back in the very back of the museum. They allow it to be removed to go in parades, like the Veterans Parade mm-hmm. here in Quincy.
Okay.
Now, last year, we couldn't use it because it rained the whole time. So we didn't allow it to get out in the weather. But normally, it's in the Veterans Parade.
Well, it's just like any other museum piece. Some things obviously can travel a little bit. Some things can be touched and taken out. Other things have to be very careful how you preserve them. Mm-hmm. A cannon's not going to deteriorate, but a wooden caisson or items of material like uniforms and documents, those have to be more closely protected.
Right.
Okay, sounds good. What else might we see when we head out to the All Wars Museum on the campus of the Illinois Veterans Home?
Well, when you go back a little further from the cannon, there's an actual flag, 45-star flag, that was in the basement that we found, and it was deteriorating pretty bad, so we salvaged it and had it mounted in UV protection box. But it was actually flown during the Spanish-American War at the Veterans Home.
That is exciting. Now, you mentioned you found this in the basement. I imagine that you're not finding too many more things in the basement, because after you found a find like that, some volunteers probably went down in the basement and did an inventory.
Yeah.
But the collection in general, when you talk about that, that's something interesting. Somebody thought to save that during the Spanish-American War. How many stars?
45.
45 uh-huh. stars, yeah. Spanish-American War.
Yeah.
Hawaii, Alaska, Arizona, and others not represented yet. Yeah. How do you, first of all, is there anything left in the basement?
Not much. I've got a few things that can't be brought upstairs because of the lack of room. We would like to have more room, but it don't look like that's going to happen.
Okay. So every once in a while, maybe something might come up if something went down, but it'd have to be rotating the collection.
Right, right.
But how do you get items for the All Wars Museum? Because obviously now we've got skirmishes going on all over the world, it seems like. There's always some kind of American military expedition going somewhere. How are you collecting, and do they have to have a connection to Illinois or Quincy in order for you to want it?
No, we get collections from all the wars, like from descendants of people that were like in World War II. They like to bring out their items that their loved one had that they have no use for it. We will take those. We've got a lot of metal displays from World War II. The family didn't want it, or else there's no family left, so we've got those. Another thing we found was a document from 1917. They called it the War of 1917. It was actually before it was named World War I, so we had that framed because it was an original document. And we've got that frame now where it's protected and on display. So I thought that was pretty neat to find it. But we do take... We take weapons from people that want to donate a war veteran that wants to donate a weapon.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to the War of 1917, because obviously before they called it World War I, they had to realize it was going to be a world war. I always like the history after it happens puts these names on them, you know. But Quincy has an interesting history in World War I. Did you know our congressman was one of the very few to vote no to go to war against Germany? Because of Quincy's exceptionally large German population, Quincyans didn't have much stomach for going to war with Germany. They may not have liked what Germany was doing, but they didn't want to declare war against their brethren. Yes, this is a little known at the Historical Society. They could tell you all about it. Mm-hmm. And so Quincy had a lot of, let's just say a lot of agents were assigned from the federal government to make sure there wasn't any spying or treason or suspicious activity going on here. Because many people had to be deported who were not U.S. citizens, who were still German citizens and living here in Quincy. Now, they may have been very loyal to the United States, but they hadn't achieved citizenship yet. Mm-hmm. So they had to be removed. And ones who were U.S. citizens had to be watched carefully by Big Brother to make sure that they weren't doing anything internally to help Germany's effort against the United States. So Quincy was not a go-alonger when it came to involving itself in World War One. But it's nice to know you have that document there. And again, using museum standards, you have preserved this now so that deterioration will not happen further.
Yeah, we had special glass put on the front so UV rays wouldn't affect it. And it is full color, by the way, and it is the original from 1917.
And what kind of signatures are on that? Who signed this?
Well, there's a picture of Woodrow Wilson in the middle, and then General Pershing, but I don't know who the other, there's two generals pictured, and I don't know who the other one is, but Pershing was on there.
You only knew Pershing because he was doing jumping jacks, right? That's the only reason you could identify him, yeah. But that's fantastic, and again, it's on display at the All Wars Museum, right inside the front gate there on 12th Street at the Illinois Veterans Home. How do you get the money to do all this? Who's paying for all this acquisition? I know a lot of stuff is donated, but who pays, for example, the museum restoration, the putting it under glass? Who pays for curating this and doing all this? How is this funded?
It's mostly just by donations.
So the state of Illinois doesn't kick in?
It owns it.
The state of Illinois owns
it. Yeah.
Well, okay. Here's something about the state of Illinois. I'm going to ask you the follow-up question. The state of Illinois owns it. Does the state give you any money to maintain it? No. As typical.
It's all by donation.
Okay.
Now, they pay the heat bill, of course.
Okay, the state of Illinois and the Catholic Church are an awful lot alike. They own a lot of stuff. But when it comes time to, you know, pay for things, it's always not their problem. It's always somebody else's problem. Okay. But because it's on the grounds of the Veterans Home, they provide you the building.
And
the heat and the air conditioning.
Yeah.
And then volunteers are able to run it. And, of course, with donations, you're able to make sure. And I'm sure if there was something that came up, there was some great find that you found in a crawl space somewhere, somebody would get on the phone with Jill Tracy or Kyle Moore and say, hey, we've got to have a special appropriation. I'm sure the state would say yes to that. When you do the museum, when is this museum open?
Okay, we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon, and then from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And Mondays we're closed. Sundays we're open just in the afternoon, 1 to 4.
Okay. And is there an admission charge?
No, there's no admission. And we've got 10 good volunteers that take half-day shifts. So normally it's a different person each half-a-day shift.
Okay, so you've got 10 good volunteers. How many bad volunteers do you have?
None so far.
None so far? Okay. Do you need more volunteers?
It wouldn't hurt to have like a standby volunteer that if somebody can't be on their shift, they could have this person to call. So far, I've been the one to take over during.
You're the watchman. Set the watchman, as they say in the Bible and in the U.S. Army. My guest today is Roger Schwengel, the curator of the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. What's that job pay a year?
I get a stipend.
Do you really? Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. He served in both the Army and the Air Force, and he was deployed to Kuwait and Qatar after, or Qatar, as some people call it, after 9/11/01, in his 50s, he went back and rejoined and became reactive again and helped build the smart bombs that allowed us to do so well there. He's a member of the American Legion Post 37, and he's been in the American Legion Honor Guard for over 18 years, which is where a lot of people see Roger when he's out helping with the military funerals. and he's been on the Illinois Veterans Home Advisory Council for 12 years. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our conversation about the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home continues. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 to noon, and then from 1 to 4 each afternoon, Tuesday through Saturday. And on Sunday, it's open only from 1 until 4. We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening in our farm market report. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. An interesting guest today. Roger Schwengel is here, the curator of the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. Stop by any time. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 9 until noon every morning, and then from 1 to 4 every Tuesday through Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, they're just open on the afternoons from 1 until 4. We've talked about the 45-star flag that flew at the Veterans Home over the Spanish-American War. We've talked about cannon number one, serial number one from the Civil War that's part of their memorabilia. Original document from the War of 1917. If you don't know what the War of 1917 was, that's what we called World War I before we called it World War I. You also have some memorabilia about perhaps the most significant, some people say the most significant Quincyan, which is Paul Tibbetts, the man who, with his crew, dropped the atomic bomb on Japan during World War II in a plane named for his mother, a Quincyan, Enola Gay. Talk a little bit about that Tibbetts memorabilia at the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home, please.
We've actually got a display about Paul Tibbetts, and in that display we've got it's just an 8x10 photo, but it showed his whole crew for the plane. But he come in to the museum several years after that and signed over his picture on that 8x10 photo. So we got his signature on his picture.
Yeah, he was a guest speaker here in Quincy, and so that was very beneficial to have someone of his stature here. I admit, you're going to have to educate me and probably a lot of other people. My dad was a World War II veteran, served in the Philippines mostly, in the Pacific Theater. My father-in-law, who I never had the pleasure of meeting, served in the European Theater and was there the Battle of the Bulge. So a lot of people aren't really familiar with maybe some local folks that are war heroes. I know we're trying to do more for the Civil War heroes. The Tri-State Civil War Roundtable is like recognizing them at the different cemeteries with different plaques and stuff. Don't want to put you on the spot, Roger, but are there famous Americans that I should know, but I'm just too uninformed to know? Who are these famous people that we might run into if we go out to the All Wars Museum?
Well, I'll just mention this. There was a artist that did all of the pictures of World War I through Vietnam War of all the people that passed during those wars in portraits. It's pretty awesome. It's all through the museum, and they probably measure 15 by 20 inch portraits that are framed of all the casualties during World War I through the Vietnam War.
Now, let me clarify. My uncle, Don Menny, I think he was a lieutenant, I'm not sure. He was, well, missing in action and then declared dead. He was a pilot during World War II. Would he have a picture there of him?
Did he die during the war?
Well, the trouble was, yes, but my grandmother refused to let them declare him dead. She waited until 15, then at 15 years they called and said, Mrs. Menny, we're never going to find Don. So he was declared MIA for 15 years, and then finally, unfortunately, he was KIA. So I guess what I'm saying is he was killed during World War II, but my grandmother would not allow them to, quote, stop searching, whatever that means.
I'll have to check in.
Check on Don Menny, M-E-N-N-E. Okay. I mean, it's interesting because we're having a family reunion, and we might just zip on out and see his picture. I know his name's on the World War II memorial out there. You know, that is an aspect of the war that's interesting. We have the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, but we'll never really have another unknown soldier, because now with DNA, we can identify everybody. But still, I think the fact that the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier exists just goes to show that there are people. My Uncle Don, there's nothing to bury. They never found any remnant or remain of him. Right. His plane most likely went down in the ocean, didn't probably drop over land. I will tell the heartwarming story. The boys who were serving in his, whatever you call it, his regiment or whatever, from Quincy, came to visit my grandparents, and they assured her that they looked and looked and looked, because they were flying together, not closely together, but they were flying together. And when Donald disappeared, they went back and searched and searched and searched for wreckage, and were never able to find. Mm. And so there is no body. There's a burial ground in Calvary. There's a headstone, mm-hmm. but there's nothing in the grave. Mm. And so many people, you know, I think about the hardship, and I remember, I don't remember it, but the story was that the phone call came to the farm here in Quincy, and the oldest daughter answered, and they said, "Is your father home?" And they said, "No, he's out in the fields, but my mother's here." And they said, "Don't get your mother. Put the phone down and go out and get your father." Hmm. And he came back knowing, walking all that way from the fields, knowing that they wouldn't be getting a phone call.
Oh, my.
They wouldn't be getting a phone call. And then, you know, of course, the tragedy of knowing that your son was declared missing in action. And then 15 years later, the government said, we've got to make his claim. And they put indoor plumbing in their farmhouse with the money they got from Donald's death. So the littlest sisters who have vague, vague memories of Donald will always remember that it was their brother Donald that got them their bathtub and their toilet.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, you think about these things. I don't think we give enough thought process to the sacrifice that these families have made in the past and now even in the present. A lot of guys come in, I know, you ask somebody, "Are you a veteran?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a veteran, but I just served in the States, or I didn't do much." If you were away from your family for 2 years, you did a lot. I don't care. That's enough for the average person. So when it comes to that, so you have all these photos. Now, is something being done to keep these photos updated? I'm sure that artist is not available anymore, but can somebody else pick up that cause, do you think? Or
I don't know. Wagner was his name, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Another person that we honor is Lester Hammond. We've actually got a special display right inside the front door of the museum for him. He was a casualty of the Korean War, and he was a Medal of Honor recipient. And there's actually a building, not on campus, but off campus, called Hammond Hall, and it was named after him.
Is that the old Sycamore building?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A very good tribute to Lester Hammond.
Yeah, it is.
The Medal of Honor is won by very, very few.
Right.
Very few. Are there any other Quincyans? I think there are a few Quincyans that have received a Medal of Honor, but not many.
I think so, but there's four Medal of Honor recipients that's buried in Sunset Cemetery. Now, whether they were Adams County residents, I don't know, but there is four Medal of Honor recipients buried at Sunset.
When they received the Medal of Honor, they may not have been associated mm-hmm. here, but at the time of their passing, they were associated here, and that's why they're buried.
Right.
And that's another thing, and this is not your area of expertise, but that Veterans Home Cemetery, and I know they have a brand new columbarium out there for cremains, that continues. The land space doesn't grow, but there's burials out there once a week, twice a week sometimes. It's a very active cemetery.
Yeah, and they're going to take an acre out of that cornfield and actually make a new addition, because we're about to run out of room in the original property.
Okay, well, good. I hate that we're not making corn. I wish we wouldn't have any more deaths. But the great thing about Sunset, you just have to have served in the military. You don't have to die in military action to be buried out there. And spouses are also eligible.
Right.
The Illinois Veterans Home is truly one of the pearls and jewels of Quincy. In fact, my performing troupe will be out there twice once in May and once in June, putting on shows out there. It's a lovely, and the new facilities are even more grand. But let's continue our conversation about the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. Is there anything else you'd like to tell folks? How much time does it take? Well, don't ask. Don't do Mary Griffith time. Mary Griffith time is I'll have to sit outside and eat my lunch and come back, because if I could start at 9, I'd go till 4, because that's the kind of I'd like to read everything. But what kind of time frame should we allow for people to go through the All Wars Museum?
To see it real good, I would allow that 3 hours that we're open, the half a day. So come around 9 o'clock, and we'd be open till 12, and if they're still in there, we would go past 12. But that would allow you enough time to really do a lot of reading, because there is a lot of reading material there. And but I would allow at least 2 hours to see it good.
Okay. Well, like I said, everyone coming for our family reunion has a father that served in World War II. One of my uncles was shot down about 5 times. He wasn't too bright. He kept going back up. I mean, he flew one of those little, is it called a P-51 or something? That little bitty teeny tiny thing. And he had his little map on silk so that, you know, if he got into the water, which apparently he was a good swimmer. So, you know, they kept sending him on missions where he was going to get shot down.
That was a good plane.
Yeah, he was braver than most, I would say. And then there was my dad, who was just in the bottom of the ship. His what he saw in World War II was a metal ceiling and 2 metal sides and a metal floor. He was in the Navy and was a Morse code operator for most of his career. And then my Uncle Don, who served in the Korean War, he was a mailman. So he made sure all the guys freezing to death out there on Korea got their mail at least once a month or whenever the mailman could make it through. So, and then my Uncle Jack was all shut up. I mean, my uncles, the only one that didn't survive was my Uncle Don, who was shot down or his plane went. We don't know what happened to him. I mean, we'll never know what happened to Donald. But one uncle didn't make it back, but all the others made it back and had kids. And whenever we have a family reunion, we always look around and say, Don's kids aren't here. Don Minnie's kids aren't here, because there never were any kids.
And that's something.
Never were any kids. Well, I want to thank you, Roger, for stopping by today. We're going to save a few minutes to talk to Richard Elsenpeter. But, folks, if this hasn't wet your whistle, I don't know what will. The curator of the All Wars Museum at the Illinois Veterans Home. And, again, how much does it cost to get in?
Nothing.
Not a dime.
Right.
So, you know, everybody should be out there looking at stuff and remembering that. What's the very newest artifact you have out there?
Oh, some World War II weapons. We didn't have an M1 Garand or an M1 Carbine, and we had a lady that donated enough funds to buy both of those, so we added those firearms to our display.
Okay, then what's the most recent? Not that is old, but you just acquired it. What's the newest piece of war memorabilia? In that, I mean, from the latest conflict. The curator is studying. Hmm. He's thinking.
Well, we've got the uniform from Matt Courtney, which used to be the security, the chief of security out at the airport for TSA. We've got his uniform on display from the Gulf War.
Good.
We've got an M4 rifle from the Gulf War. So those would be the newest things.
Okay. So, folks, if you've got medals, uniforms, old opened up cans of hash, whatever you've got, they want it down at the Illinois Veterans Home. Well, Roger will go through it and see if it's really, truly worthwhile. We'll be back and talk to Richard Elsenpeter in just a moment. You stay tuned. The Mary Griffith Show is not over yet. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the most silent Richard Elsenpeter has been on the Mary Griffith Show in months.
I just know when to keep my mouth shut.
He's a pretty good guest you brought along, Roger Schwengel. So now it's your turn. You've got 4 minutes to enlighten us and inform us what's happening with Tri-State's veterans.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you very much to Roger. He's doing a fantastic job out there. I think that all the things he's doing is he's doing a great job. He's working very hard as far as bringing these things to light. So, as far as Together Tri-State Veterans, we are working very hard, working with Veteran Suicide. We had a great day this weekend on Saturday. We're out at the Day of Destruction out of the Quincy Raceways. And we're working on the adrenaline racing, because we've talked about the adrenaline racing, and it's a way of trying to get veterans involved with the race community, get them, you know, the camaraderie of working together as a team like they did in the military. So he says we're doing phase one, which is to get veterans involved with the racing community, getting the race community involved with the veterans. We signed up over 40 veterans that got in free at the Day of Destruction this past weekend. And so we are going to be going into phase two, which is actually building a race car and building a race team with veterans and veterans, you know.
So you got 40 to start, and some of those may just be interested in sitting in the stands, but some of them may be interested in getting in the pit and working on the car. And so if people want more information about that, how do we direct them? Because there are probably some gearheads out there who say, you know what, I remember working on a car when I was a teenager in my young 20s, but now, you know, family life and other things interfered with my ability to spend all my disposable income on cars. But now maybe I have a little bit more, and I'd love to get back under the hood.
Well, what we're looking at in phase two is to kind of build that...
That Crown
great
Vic?
Yes, we're looking at building a Crown Vic. So we're looking for sponsors. We're looking for gearheads. We're looking for drivers. We're looking for the mechanics. We're looking for everybody that would like to be involved. We're looking for business veterans, business owners that would like to participate and get their logos on the side of the vehicle. Because I know that the American Legion has donated, the Marine Corps League has donated, the VFW has donated, and want their logos on the side. And I just know the way veterans are, we tend to be very, have a lot of camaraderie, but we also like to have bragging rights. So I know if we build one car that says Army or Navy on it, next year they're going to have, the Marines will want their own car. Because they want to be able to say, we kicked your butt this weekend. So I just see this program growing and expanding and, you know, having multiple cars as we go. So
right now, just register and you can get in free at Quincy Raceways if you're a veteran.
There are 20 races on the schedule of the Quincy Raceways. Every night of racing, there is a reason for a veteran to come. So this week, every veteran could get in free. Next week, we're giving away a free gift at the gate. The week after, they get a veteran gets a free combo meal, you know, to get fed out there. The next week, I believe the American Legion is, you know, any American Legion member gets in free. So every week, there's a reason for a veteran to go. They can drop their ticket in our bucket. And it says if they only come once, they have a ticket in the bucket to win a grand prize. If they come 20 times, they'll have 20 tickets in the bucket to win. And at the end of the season, at the end of those 20 races, we'll draw one of the tickets out, and they have a chance of winning two season passes to next year's races.
Wow, that's great that Quincy Raceways is doing that. Folks, there's so much going on, and there's so many programs to help veterans avoid suicide. Suicide prevention is what they're trying to do. And so if you know someone who is in trouble and who is a veteran, help them reach out for help. And what's that number? It's 988, option one. Just keep that by your phone. And if you ever have anybody that you come across and they're having trouble, 988, you can save their life. Thank you very much to Roger Schwengel and to Richard Elson-Peter, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mary.